ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी इति नामने नमस्ते सारस्वतदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेश तरणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदेव गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे reading from Srimad Bhagavatam canto 7 chapter 8 verse 17 satyam vidato na jabrutya bhashatam vyaptim cha bhutesh akileshu cha manah adrishcha tatha bhutam rupam udvahan Stambe sabayam na mrigam na manusham. Translation: to prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus, the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. Purport: when Hiranyakasipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, "Where is your Lord? Is he present in this pillar?" Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly replied, "Yes, my Lord is present everywhere." Therefore, to convince Hiranyakasipu that the statement of Prahlad Maharaj was unmistakably true, the Lord appeared from the pillar. The Lord appeared as half lion and half man, so that Hiranyakasipu could not understand whether the great giant was a lion or a human being. To substantiate Prahlad's statement, the Lord proved that his devotee, as declared in Bhagavad Gita, is never vanquished. Kaunteya Patijani Hiname Bhakta Pranasyati. Prahlad Maharaj's demoniac father had repeatedly threatened to kill Prahlad, but Prahlad was confident that he could not be killed since he was protected by the Supreme Lord. By appearing from the pillar, the Lord encouraged the devotee, saying in effect, "Don't worry, I am present here." By manifesting his form as Narsimhadev, the Lord also preserved the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakasipu was not to be killed by any animal nor any man. The Lord appeared in a form that could not be said to be fully a man or a lion. Translation: to prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus, the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. Today is the appearance day of Nrsimha. The very name indicates what is stated here, that he was not a beast, mriga, nor a human being, manusha. He was half-half. So nra or nara means man, and simha means lion. So we say Nrsimha or Narasimha. He's partly man and partly lion. So that name indicates the unique form of the Supreme Lord at this time. It is remarkable, of course, that he appeared from a pillar, that he appeared in this strange form, which is neither man nor animal, but half-half. And he did so at the request, or at the to prove the belief of Prahlad that the Lord is everywhere. So all of this is quite remarkable. The fact that the Lord appears at all, where everyone can see him, is remarkable. Most religions have a little problem in having the Lord appear in the material world, and if they want to have the Lord appear, they don't want to give him a form, and if he's to appear, he's not going to appear many times, he'll appear once, and that's it, forever. But we find that in the Vedic literature, there's no problem for the Lord appearing. He can appear in any form he wants to, and here he appears in the most unexpected form, that even was surprising to the Devatas, because it was neither human nor animal. And, of course, not only did he appear, he was visible to everybody. Hiranyakasipu saw him. Hiranyakasipu's army saw him. Prahlad saw him. Devatas saw him. Everybody saw him. So the Lord was visible with a unique form. Not only did the Lord appear, but we understand that the Lord always appears, not just once. But he appears constantly in different yugas throughout the day of Brahma. As far as yuga avatars, the Lord appears 4,000 times as a yuga avatar. And apart from that, he also appears as lila avatars of various sorts, and manvantara avatars, and guna avatars. In this way, the Lord appears many, many times, not just once, and manifests some of his qualities. So this is another surprising feature of the Supreme Lord, well, for many people, because he appears not just once, but many times, and is visible to everybody. And apart from that, he has a form, and apart from having a form, the form keeps changing. Here he's the form of a man, half lion, but previously appeared as Varaha, a boar, and as a fish, and as a horse, as a bird, Hamsa. So he appears in many different forms, remarkable forms. So what is important to understand is that the Supreme Lord has all power. Therefore, he can appear whenever he wants, in any place, and in any form. He can appear and he can disappear. He can do anything he wants. The name Vishnu, if we take the etymological meaning of it, Vish means to enter into. So Vishnu enters into everything. That's the meaning of Vishnu, which means he is pervading everywhere. He is everywhere. So that's one common feature of the Lord mentioned in the scriptures. He is everywhere. Another word to represent that is Vibhu, the all-powerful Lord. This again means he is spread everywhere, and no one can conceive of the greatness or the extent of the Lord, because he is everywhere. He's bigger than the universe is all put together. So the Lord is spread everywhere with inconceivable powers, which would perhaps make us, by logic, think that if he's spread everywhere, how could he have a form at all? Because he's the biggest thing. But remarkably, he has a form, and that form looks like it is limited. So we have all forms. They have particular dimension to them, and they have edges to them, whatever like this. So the two-dimensional forms, the three-dimensional forms, they're all limited. If the Lord is Vibhu, or Vishnu, all-pervading, he can't have no limitation. So there's a limitation if the Lord takes a form. So this is one reason why people say, Lord should not have a form, because we put limit on the Lord. And he can even be a small form. So we have Vamanadeva, little dwarf form of God. Not just if God was very big, fine, he had a big, huge form, giant form, very good. But if he's a little dwarf, how's that? But yet the Lord takes the form of a dwarf, Vamanadeva. Or we see Krishna, small child, baby, crawling around in the yard of the cow, with the cowherds, you know, playing with the calves. Little form, which was surprised even Brahma when he saw Krishna playing with the cowherd boys. This is a little boy, how can he be God? So he expected some huge form, grand form, but he saw a little boy there. So the Lord takes various forms, and they all seem to be limited. Usually we describe this as a madhyama form, a medium-sized form. The Lord doesn't, of course, he can take a huge form like the universal form, which is big as the universe, but usually he doesn't do that. So as Ramchandra or Krishna or other forms, there's some limit to his size. So that we call a medium form, which is visible to our eyes. But that's a contradiction in one sense, because if the Lord is unlimited and he is pervading everywhere, how can he limit himself like this? So when we think like that, we are using our material logic. And as I suggested last night, quoting from Mahabharata, spiritual things are beyond material logic. They are achintya. So we cannot define them in the same way as we define things in the material world. They are actually unlimited. And if you try to use material logic to define God or his forms, then you'll fall into problems. It doesn't work. So that's why we have to accept the scripture that says God does have a form, but it's not a material form. He is unlimited, but he can take a form. That's contradiction. But because the Lord is inconceivable or achintya, then there's no contradiction for the Supreme Lord. He can do this. So therefore we have a whole description throughout the Bhagavatam of forms of the Lord. Not impersonal Lord with no form, but forms of the Lord that who appear throughout the day of Brahma. So not just one time does the Lord come to deliver everybody, but he comes all the time. And not only he comes in a form all the time, but he comes in various forms. And therefore we have descriptions of all these remarkable forms of the Supreme Lord, which the forms are of various species of life, from more primitive species to more advanced species. So we got the fish and the turtle and the snake and the bird, and then the animals, and then the half animal, half human, then the human form like Ramchandra or Krishna. And then among the human beings we get Kshatriyas like Ramchandra, or we get Brahminical persons like Yajna who does sacrifices, or we get Krishna who is a cowherd boy, a Vaishya. So we get a variety of varnas there. We even get a variety of ashramas, because we get very renounced persons like Narayan or Rishabhadev, very renounced. So we get all sorts of a great variety of forms of the Lord in terms of varna and ashrama and human species, animal species, fish species, etc. And even they can come in different colors. So we get Krishna as a blackish color. We get Balaram, his brother, in the opposite color, white. We get Lord Chaitanya in yellow color. We get Yogi in red color. We get Kali Yuga avatar, usually. He's a blackish in color, very black. We get Ramchandra in green color. So we get varieties of colors of the Supreme Lord also. Forms, colors, species, etc. And they're appearing all through the day of Brahma, every day of Brahma, throughout Brahma's 100 years. And still, the Lord is unlimited and all-pervading and beyond our conception. So this is the nature of the Supreme Lord. We have to accept that. But it illustrates the remarkable powers of the Supreme Lord. And there are some common features, even though these forms are so different from each other, there are common features, such as what is mentioned here, satyam vidatum nija britya bhashitam. In order to prove true the words of his servant, the Lord manifested this form. That is a common feature of the Lord. He is very compassionate to his devotee, very responsive to his devotee, and therefore he'll act according to what the devotee says. He falls under control of the devotee. Name of the Lord is Bhakta Vatsala. He is very affectionate towards his devotees. So though the Lord is all-powerful and he is independent and supreme, he also acts in a very submissive way with his devotees. We may think, well, that's again contrary qualities. He's Supreme Lord and then he's acting controlled by his devotees as if he's not independent. So the Lord can do this. He can display opposite qualities and there's no contradiction. In the material world, we'll find contradiction, but in the spiritual world, no. So the Lord can be the highest, supreme form and at the same time be completely dependent on his devotee, as we see in the case of Krishna and Arjuna, or Krishna and the devotees of Vrindavan. So here we find Nrsimhadev appearing in this way and at this time to satisfy the words of his devotee. And what did Prahlad say? The Supreme Lord is everywhere. Which is a common statement about the Supreme Lord, because he's unlimited, so he must be everywhere. And to prove that true, then the Lord appeared from the pillar, as described in the previous verses. Hiranyakasipu came and said, well, he's your Supreme Lord, who's... Hiranyakasipu believed that Vishnu was simply an ordinary person who had got some great power by punya. So he said, is your Lord in that Vishnu in that pillar? Yeah. And then he came to strike the pillar with his sword. And in response to that, then this form of the Lord appeared, Nrsimhadev, a remarkable form. So not only was it remarkable because it was half lion and half man, but he appeared from a pillar. We have the Lord appearing in different ways. He can appear from a mother and father, as he appears from Vasudeva and Devaki, or from Nanda and Yasoda, or from Dasarath and his wife. Normal, looks like normal. He seems to be born from a mother and father. But then he can do anything exceptional. Okay? So he appeared from the nostril of Brahma and became Varaha. Also, so extraordinary. Here, he doesn't appear from anybody. He appears out of matter, out of a pillar. So we say, of course, life cannot come from matter. This is what Prabhupada says, and life comes from life. You can't produce life from matter. But here we find Supreme Lord coming out of matter. It's a pillar, like a rock coming out of a rock. So how can it happen? Because the Lord is inconceivable in his power. He is everywhere, so he's also in the rock, in the pillar, wherever. And to please his devotee, then he can manifest himself in this way. Normally, of course, he doesn't do that. We can look at the pillars and the rocks and try to say, appear, appear, but the Lord will not appear to us. He's a very special devotee because of his devotion. So therefore, the Lord appeared at this time. We see that Prahlad was afflicted by his father simply because he refused to give up his statement, Vishnu is the Supreme Lord, everyone should worship Vishnu. Nrsimhadev, of course, or the Lord is naturally in that position, but Hiranyakasipu couldn't accept that. He wanted to be supreme. Okay? And he thought of the Supreme Lord as simply another living entity. So he thought he could become more powerful, and he did austerities, etc., and got blessings of Lord Brahma so that no one could kill him. And then he thought he was invincible, unconquerable. So the Prahlad, in the meantime, never gave up his belief, in spite of the fact that his father kept threatening him in different ways and punishing him. So he tried various ways of even killing him. But what did Prahlad do? He remembered the Lord. That's all. So he's the famous example of smaranam, which means memory. We can engage our voice in kirtan, chanting the name of the Lord. we can engage the ear in hearing topics of the Lord, and we can hear the mind in remembering the Lord. So that's what Prahlad did. So he's famous as being an example of Smaranam, remembering the Lord at all times. So he remembered the Lord at all times, and when his father was trying to kill him by poisoning him or throwing him off the cliff, Prahlad simply was remembering the Supreme Lord. He wasn't even asking, please save me. He was just, the Lord is very wonderful. And the Lord saved him in all these cases. So he had constant remembrance of the Supreme Lord. So he was fixed as a devotee of the Lord at all times. Of course, why was he fixed? The story is that he got the mercy of Narada Muni in the womb. Right? Because Narada Muni was teaching his mother when she was pregnant, so that he heard topics of Vishnu, and therefore he got the mercy of Narada Muni in the womb. So when he was a very small boy, he was the most advanced devotee at Kripa City. He was a siddha by mercy of Narada Muni. So in this way, he was a great example of a devotee. At the same time, we should understand that in one sense, Prahlad also was an eternal associate of the Lord, but he takes this role of being a devotee. This is Narada Muni also takes the role of being a servant boy for the Bhaktivedanta in the monsoon period, and then gradually he develops taste by taking prasadam from the devotees, and then he develops and then he gets bhava and prema, etc. But in this way he shows the path of sadhana. But actually Narada Muni is he's a Shaktivesh avatar of the Supreme Lord, so he's actually eternal, but he takes this role of being a regular devotee in the material world advancing. So similarly, Prahlad also takes this role of being a person who is born in a demonic family, and then by remembrance he gets perfection. But on the other hand, he's also eternally the associate of the Lord. So very, very great devotee. So the appearance of the Lord here is remarkable because of appearing from the pillar, appearing in this very strange form. Here we call it Adbhuta. Adbhuta, which means wonderful or astonishing. This is one of the rasas in devotional service. We have primary rasas like Sakya and Vatsalya and Madhurya in the positive relationships. Then we have secondary rasas which create a little bit of variety there, such as comedy or lamentation and tragedy and fear and anger, etc. So one of the secondary rasas is astonishment, abhuta. So it's a secondary feature of rasa. And the Lord can also manifest this astonishment. Devotees can manifest astonishment also. So when the Lord took this form, then everybody was astonished. The devotees were astonished. The demons were astonished. Everyone was astonished. So it's a particular type of sentiment, surprise, something unexpected. And then you get this feeling called astonishment. So that was the nature of the Lord's appearance, very astonishing to everybody. Even though devatas do see the Lord as Vamana and other forms, and Brahma can see him as Vishnu form, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, etc. This was a most astonishing form for everybody, even for the devotees. In this way, Nrisimhadev was very remarkable. But the other feature of Nrisimhadev is anger. He was so angry when he saw Hiranyakasipu, that when he killed him, he kept on tearing him apart. After he had pulled out his intestines and everything, he was still trembling in anger, and no one could pacify him. So anger is another secondary rasa, rodha rasa, which can manifest in the Lord or in devotees or in demons or anyone. But in the Lord, it is completely spiritual. So he had this aspect. Another aspect of Nrsimhadev is his prowess. How he was very thrilled to fight with Hiranyakasipu. And in fact, he prolonged the fight. It is said that it's like sometimes we get the Garuda catches a snake. Garuda likes to eat snakes and kill snakes. But sometimes he'll let the snake go and the snake will start crawling away. And then he'll grab the snake again and he'll tear him apart. And then you let him go and then he goes away and then he grabs him again. Or we see sometimes the cat takes the mouse, nibbles a little bit, lets them all go, and then he grabs them again. So that was the Nrsimhadev. He fight with Hiranyakasipu, injure him a little bit, and okay, then he let him go. And then to fight again, and he'll injure him some more. And then he'll let him go again, you know, fight again. So this is his virya, his prowess, his thrill with fighting enemies, which is one of the features of a kshatriya. They like to fight. Brahmanas don't like to fight, but kshatriyas like to fight. So we find the Pandavas had this quality in that they would fight. If they were challenged, they would very bravely fight, and they enjoyed it. So this we see in Nrsimhadev. He liked to fight, and he liked to display his prowess in fighting with Hiranyakasipu. The origin of all of this is in the spiritual world. When the Kumaras came, and then the gatekeepers forbade them from coming into Vaikuntha, and then the Kumaras got angry and cursed them, and then Vishnu came and said, well, I have to, Brahmins, the Kumaras were Brahmins, and they cursed his doorkeepers who were his great devotees, so I have to follow the instruction of the Brahmanas and you have to get cursed. But then how all this happened? Why would they get, why would the gatekeepers who were devotees of the Lord get so angry at the Kumaras who were also devotees from entering into Vaikuntha? If they're great devotees, why would they show anger and insult them in this way? So the esoteric explanation is that the Supreme Lord in Vaikuntha is very peaceful. Sometimes he gets a little bit excited and he wants to fight. So we can have fights in the spiritual world which are part of rasa and virya with a devotee, as we see with Krishna fighting with the cowherd boys. They have wrestling matches and things like this. The virya manifested there. But in this case, Vishnu in Vaikuntha said, this, I want some more fighting, I want some great fighting. But even if I have demons, they're not really so powerful, you know, it's not a good fight. So he was thinking like that, I must have a very nice fight somewhere. And the gatekeepers understood this, Vishnu wants to have a nice fight. So we should do that. We'll be the enemy of Vishnu. We'll really fight with him more than the regular demons. We will fight with Vishnu. Then he'll get lots of thrill. He'll display his virya very nicely. So because of that desire, then the Lord made this arrangement and they got cursed and then they became Hiranyakasipu, Hiranyaksha, and three lifetimes they had to fight with the Lord. So, in other words, their appearance as the appearance here of Hiranyakasipu was because the Lord originally had a desire to display his virya, to display his power. So this gave him a good chance to do that because Hiranyakasipu was not an ordinary demon, he was also an associate of the Lord. So then he could really fight. Yeah, so in this way, we find virya, secondary rasa, manifested in the Supreme Lord in fighting with Hiranyakasipu. So in this way, the remarkable form of Hiranyakasipu is celebrated. He is also in the hierarchy of forms of the Lord. He is very high. Some of the forms, this manifests a few powers, like Veda Vyas manifests the Vedas. He doesn't do any fighting. Kapila teaches philosophy. but he doesn't kill any demons or anything. Also, Mohini Avatar appears and steals the nectar, etc. So some of the forms of the Lord don't show too many powers. They have a limited function. Others show more powers and more powers and more powers. So in this way, the different forms of the Lord are classified as Vaibhava and Prabhava and Paravasta forms. And finally, we get the topmost forms, who are called Purna. So Rupa Goswami classifies Narsimhadev and Ramchandra and Krishna as Purna forms, complete forms. They're the highest forms of all. Of course, Krishna is the highest form, Swayam Bhagavan, but in that Purna category we also have Ramchandra and Narsimhadev. So they manifest significant number of qualities, more than the other forms. So that is why Narsimhadev is quite famous and popular, because he has got all these qualities that are attractive to people in his various pastimes. And of course we have Ramchandra, very, very popular. Therefore we have a whole Ramayana dedicated to glorifying Ramchandra. And then we have Bhagavatam and Mahabharata to glorify Krishna. So all very, they perform many different pastimes and show many different qualities. So Narsimhadev is up there on the top, and therefore he's very popularly worshipped. Most commonly, we find him worshipped in Andhra Pradesh, that's in South India, upper part of South India, in that state. And that's where we find his appearance place also. There's a place called Hobalam, and there we find 9 Narsimhadev temples, and Narsimhadev in different forms, and different temples in different places. So he's celebrated there also. So the form of Narsimhadev is very popular because he is a form of the Lord who shows many wonderful qualities. So we like to remember these different forms, and therefore we celebrate the appearance days of these different forms at the same time by reading Bhagavatam and listen to the Acharyas. We understand that we worship these forms, but we worship them with the understanding that they're all included in Krishna. And whatever is in Narsimhadev is also in Krishna. Whatever is in Ramchandra is also in Krishna. Plus Krishna has extra. So therefore, the pastimes of to illustrate that, sometimes it's said that, it's illustrated that when Krishna is in Vrindavan, then sometimes in the forest, they will imitate the pastimes of Ramchandra with the monkeys, etc. like this. So Krishna will take up the role of Ramchandra, and the cowherd boys will be like the, you know, other devotees there in Ramchandra Leela. So in this way, with pastimes of Ramchandra included within the pastimes of Krishna. And similarly, Narsimhadev also included within Krishna. So we should never think that these are separate entities. They're all one God. Bhagavan is only one person. So they're all part of the same person, Narsimhadev and Rama, Krishna and others. But we put the emphasis on Krishna because he includes everything else. So the whole point of Bhagavatam in reciting all these different avatars is to show that ultimately Krishna is the seed of all the avatars, all the forms of the Lord, and therefore he's in the highest position. Okay, any questions? Well, yeah. If we look at the chakras in India, some of them you'll see, there's actually a famous Sudarshan temple in South India, also near Madurai. And if you look at that temple, then you see the form of Sudarshan. And on the back of that huge chakra is Narsimhadev. So he's actually embedded in the chakra itself. So the two are, in one sense, intimately related to each other, the chakra and Nishimane, in spite of the fact that we say that the ayuda, or the weapon of the Lord, is like his shakti, or his quality, or his servant. Still, within that, we got this image of Nishrimadeva, probably because the chakra has a very destructive, fiery nature against the demons. So then Nishrimadeva also is, he destroys the demons like Ranikasipu very powerfully. So he's got that same quality. So then he incarnates within the Sudarshan chakra to destroy the demons. I suppose that's the reason why.
Nishringapali.
Yeah.
It's like if you kill Ranikashipu, that can be that's that place where he washed his hands. After killing the all the soldiers. So it's a long distance, so I just.
Oh, well, distance is long for us, but not for the Supreme Lord. So we'll find various places in India, there are Nrsimha temples, and they have various pastimes related to Nrsimhadev. So in Melkote also, there's a famous Nrsimhadev temple on top of a hill. So then he's also, that's Nrsimhadev, I think he did yoga there. So he's in the yoga pose, and he's just meditating in a cave. So various stories of Nrsimhadev after he killed Hiranyakasipu. Then Nrsimhadev went to various places, and because he's Supreme Lord, he can go there faster than the speed of the mind and do whatever he wants, just to give mercy to different devotees. This is explained by Vishnu Chakravarti in his commentary on the Bhagavatam, because in one sense Krishna is the eternal son of Nanda and Yasoda in a spiritual world. So then when Krishna appeared in the material world, he appeared as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki in the prison. Simultaneously, he appeared to Nanda and Yasoda, but as twins, with this Yogamaya deity, or Mahamaya actually, and Krishna appeared. So Vasudev, through the arrangement of Yogamaya, making the guards fall asleep and the prison opening out, he took the Krishna out of Mathura, and he got to Nanda's house there. It was all dark, and he went inside, and there was Yasoda sleeping with the twins, and she had fainted after giving birth, and so she was unaware that Vasudeva was there. And he also didn't see the children. He saw maybe one child there, and because it was dark, and he put the child down and took the other child. So he took the girl child. Meanwhile, the two other ones merged together. So the child of Nanda, the Krishna as the son of Nanda and Yasoda, and Krishna as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki merged together and became one at that time. But then he took the other child. He didn't see that merging together. He just took the other child, thinking that was Yasoda's child, and went back to the prison house again. So that story is told to illustrate the fact that Krishna is not the stepchild of Yasoda, not his actual child, in terms of Leela also, not just in spiritual, but in terms of Leela, he's actually the child of Nanda Yasoda. And then there's many different quotes that Vishnu Chakravarti gives where Nanda talks about my son born from me, etc. He's Atmanja, he's my son, so that confirms it.
I definitely think that
No, neither have I. But of course, the main thing was he was remembering the Lord at all times, so then the Lord would save him in any case. As Prabhupada quotes in the purport here, Name Bhakta Pranasyati. And he says, Pratijanihi, which means promise. The Lord promises that his devotee will never be destroyed. So rarely does the Lord make a promise. If he makes a promise, then it must come true. So therefore, when he says, my devotee is never destroyed, the devotee must always be rescued by the Lord in spite of whatever problem is there. Now the devotee doesn't, if he's advanced, then he doesn't really care. He just remembers the Lord, and then the Lord does whatever he wants, but usually the Lord will protect the devotee in some remarkable way.
You mentioned the esoteric reason of why Shingadev appears.
Yeah.
And I read in the Bhagavatam that actually the curse of the Jain Jai was initially done by Dashmi, something like that. But I never read it, maybe you said so. I was just wondering if it's in the Bhagavatam.
Usually we take the curse as the curse of the Kumaras there.
Yeah, but in the Bhagavatam, Lord Narayan talks to the Jain Jai.
Okay.
He mentions Lashmi Devi, that it was for, I don't know the word, it was for Bay or something like that, by Lashmi.
Oh, I see.
So I was just wondering where, because it's really interesting story, that like you said that he wanted to fight, so that's why So where do we find that story?
About Lakshmi?
Lord Narayan wants to fight.
That's mentioned by Vishnu Chakravarti in Madhurya Gadamani. He mentions that.
But that is a revelation to him?
Or possibly. Of course, that's a way of explaining why would the doorkeepers who are devoted to the Lord and the Lord is devoted to the doorkeepers, why would they get angry in the first place when Shaktivesh avatars of the Lord are approaching and trying to get into Vaikuntha? So there's, it's like Pariksit Maharaj getting angry and putting a snake around the Brahmin's neck. Why would he do that? Because he was a great king and he was had all wonderful qualities and he never got angry. He was not afflicted by hunger and thirst, but now suddenly he got really angry at the Brahmana who was meditating because he didn't pay any attention to him and put a snake around his neck. So it's very unlikely he would do such a thing. So it's explained because Lord's arrangement, Yoga Maya, for a certain purpose. So again, why would the doorkeepers get angry and insult the Kumaras, who were just little boys also, from coming into Vaikuntha? And reason, there must be some good reason for that. So that's a way of explaining it.
It seems like we talk about the Supreme Lord and his forms in a different breath. So it kind of implies that eistosis is obviously the case, that the God is simultaneously impersonal and personal. So I suppose that there's this impersonal aspect of God that then manifests as a person, because it's yearning for relationship. And then Krishna, we even refer to Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As if there's Godhead and these personalities that emanate from this source, from the source. Am I accurate in what I'm saying here? Or?
Well, I think maybe another way of explaining that is that the Lord has his Sarup, or his basic character, basic form, and then he also has his, let's say, his qualities or something which are attached to that form by which he can do various things. So he has a, just like we have an object which has got qualities with it, but somehow the book is a little bit separate from its qualities. So we have the Sarup of the Lord, and then we have his various aspects which are a little bit different. At the same time, we cannot say, okay, the Lord has a sarup, which is like abstract, and then over that he's got the qualities covering him up, because it's all one. We can't really differentiate in that way with the Supreme Lord. So his qualities and the Lord are the same. not like we have an atma within the body and they're separate, they're actually different. So the Lord, His essence and His qualities and His arms and His legs and whatever are all one. They're not, there's no distinction, there's absolute no duality there. So we can't apply logic in the same way with like quality and object in the material world. We can separate them to some degree, so we can't really do that with the Supreme Lord. Nevertheless, we do express that philosophically by saying the Lord has His shaktis. So by His sandini shakti, He manifests His form, His qualities, His activities, and His name, as if it's like a little bit separate. The Lord is there, and then He's got His... And if He doesn't manifest His sandini shakti and manifest His name, form, qualities, then He would be impersonal. So definition of Jiva Goswami of Brahman, impersonal Brahman, is it is the Supreme Lord minus any shakti. When He doesn't display any shakti, then all we see is Brahman. No form, no quality, no activity. When He manifests sandini shakti, then we get form, qualities, activities of Supreme Lord. And then when He manifests sanvit and padini, then we get the personal aspect of the Lord and relating to devotees, etc. But that's just the way of it. We can't really separate them. We also say the Shakti and the Shaktiman, the Lord and His Shakti, are non-different. So we can't really separate them too much, especially the internal Shaktis like Sandini, Samvit, and Padini, like Radha and Krishna. In one sense, they're separate. Again, she's a Padini Shakti, so they're one again, very close together. So we can't apply material logic too much to those forms.
When we say Lord Hari, does Lord Hari have a form, or what is referring to when we say Lord Hari?
Well, Hari is just a general. It could be Vishnu, it could be Krishna. Sometimes it means Krishna. It means the all-attractive one who attracts everybody or steals the heart. So it's a personal form of the Lord, not Brahman, definitely. Yeah.
And just one final thing. How do we determine the appearance day of Lord Shrimadeva?
We determine all the appearance days of Acharyas and forms of the Lord, avatars, by Titi, or lunar days. So in scripture it said that Nrsimhadev manifested, he came out of the pillar on Chaturdasi day, which is the 14th day, just before the Purnima. Tomorrow's the Purnima, so of this particular month. So it's determined by that. And that doesn't correspond to the solar days. It's always different. Every year it comes out a little different. Because the lunar year is shorter than the solar year. So it doesn't coincide exactly. So it's determined by the 14th day of this particular month in the waxing phase. Krishna is on the astami of the waning phase when it's going towards Amavasya. So 7 days before the Amavasya is the dark moon, 8th day, and that's when Krishna appears in Bhadra month. That's in August. So it's done by titis. Okay. Hare Krishna.